Have you ever pulled the power to idle on downwind to beam the numbers, turned toward the runway, and watched your aiming point slide underneath you while you were still 100 feet in the air? You're not alone. I'm Pattern on Traffic Pattern here on Radio Hangar, and today we are going to fix the maneuver that fails more private pilot check rides than almost anything else in the airplane, the power off 180. Some people call it the emergency approach to landing. The airman certification standards call it emergency approach and landing, and it lives under area of operation 9. Your examiner is going to pull your power abeam a point on the runway and watch what you do. And what most students do is panic a little pitch for best glide and then fly a beautiful pattern that ends about 800 feet long. Let me tell you why that keeps happening and how to stop it. Shout out to our friends at AviationSoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot, instrument, commercial, they've got you covered. Great way to mark the milestones that matter. AviationSoul.com. All right, let's walk through this together from the moment the power comes out. You are on downwind at pattern altitude, which for most of us is about 1,000 feet above the ground. Give or take. Your examiner says, simulated engine failure, you immediately do three things. Pitch for best glide speed. In a Cessna 172, that is 68 knots indicated. In a Piper Cherokee 140, it is 73. Know your number cold. You do not have time to look it up. Second, pick your aiming point. This is where people get sloppy. Your aiming point is not the runway threshold. It is not the numbers. Your aiming point should be about a third of the way down the runway, or roughly the 1,000-foot markers if the runway has them. Why? Because you can always lose altitude. You cannot get it back. If you aim for the threshold and come up short, you are landing in the weeds. If you aim a third of the way down and you are high, you slip it off, you add flaps, you have options. The ACS says you need to touch down at or within 400 feet beyond a specified point. That point is usually the 1,000-foot markers, but notice the language at or beyond, not before. Landing short is the one thing you cannot fix. Third, turn toward the runway. And here is mistake number one. Most students wait too long to start the turn. They fly a beautiful extended downwind leg because in their head they are flying a normal pattern. But this is not a normal pattern. You have no power. Every second you fly away from the runway. You are trading altitude you need for distance you do not want. As soon as the power comes out and you have your glide speed nailed, you should be thinking about when to start your base turn. Here is something I wish someone told me when I was training. The key position in this maneuver is the point where you roll out on base leg. That is your decision point. When you are on base, roughly 45 degrees from the runway, you should be about 600 to 800 feet above the ground. If you're higher than that, you're going to overshoot. If you're lower, you might not make it. That base leg altitude is the single most important number in the whole maneuver, and almost nobody talks about it. Now let's talk about the turn itself. Mistake number two is flying a square pattern. A lot of students make a crisp 90-degree turn to base, fly a base leg, then make another crisp 90-degree turn to final. That is fine when you have power. Without power, you are bleeding altitude the entire time. What works better is a continuous curving approach. Think of it as a big, sweeping arc from your downwind position to the runway. You do not have to fly a perfect circle, but the idea is to keep the runway in sight and adjust your bank angle to control your ground track. If you're getting high, tighten the turn. If you're getting low, widen it out. You're painting a curved line from where you are to where you want to be. Mistake number three is forgetting about the wind. On a calm day, this maneuver is almost easy. On a windy day, it will embarrass you if you're not thinking ahead. If you have a headwind on final, which you should because you should be landing into the wind, that headwind was a tailwind on downwind. That tailwind pushed you farther from the runway than you expected, and now you have a longer glide back. Plus, that headwind on final is going to steepen your descent angle. So on a windy day, you start your turn sooner, and you keep your base leg tighter. If the wind is calm, you can afford a wider pattern. Your examiner knows what the wind is doing. They want to see that you know too. Mistake number four. And this is the big one, is not using flaps strategically. Flaps are your altitude disposal tool. Without power, they are the only way to increase your descent rate without increasing your airspeed. The mistake students make is dumping full flaps early in the approach because that is what they do on a normal landing. In a power off 180, you hold your flaps until you know you can make the runway. No flaps on base unless you are clearly high. Start adding flaps on final once you're confident you have the field made. If you put in full flaps at 800 feet and then realize you are low, you are in real trouble. You cannot take them back out, not in most training airplanes without a significant pitch change that costs you even more altitude. The examiner is looking for energy management. That is really what this entire maneuver tests. Can you manage altitude and airspeed without an engine? Can you make decisions about when to configure the airplane? Can you adjust for wind? The examiner does not care if your pattern is textbook pretty. They care that you put the airplane on the runway in a safe, controlled manner within the standards. Let me give you a practice technique that works beautifully. Go up with your instructor and fly this maneuver at altitude first. Pick a point on the ground, a road intersection, or a field corner. Pull the power, set up your glide, and fly the whole pattern as if that point is your runway. See where you end up relative to that point when you reach your simulated touchdown altitude. If you're long every time, you know you're flying too wide a pattern. If you're short, you're turning too tight. Do this 10 times at altitude before you ever try it at the runway. It takes the pressure off and lets you see the geometry without worrying about the ground coming up. One more thing. The checklist. Even on a simulated emergency, the examiner wants to see you attempt to restart the engine. That means carburetor heat on, fuel selector on both, mixture rich, check the primer is in and locked. You do not have to spend a lot of time on it, and you do not have to say it out loud like a robot, but run through the critical items. On a real engine failure, that restart checklist might save your life. On a check ride, skipping it might cost you the maneuver. And here's the thing. Nobody tells you about the check ride version specifically. Your examiner will probably pull the power when you're abeam a point that gives you a reasonable shot at making the runway. They are not trying to trick you. They want to see the maneuver, not watch you land in a cornfield. So take a breath. You have more altitude and more time than you think. The students who fail this maneuver are the ones who rush, dump the flaps early, and overshoot because they never slowed down enough to think. The power off 180 is really just a confidence exercise dressed up as an emergency procedure. Once you understand that your job is to manage a curve and an energy state, not to fly a perfect rectangular pattern without power, the whole thing clicks. That material comes from the Airman Certification Standards, the Airplane Flying Handbook, and a few hundred hours of watching students figure this out from the right seat. More training talk anytime at RadioHangar.com. Put this one in your back pocket for your next practice session. Fly it at altitude until the geometry makes sense. Then take it to the runway. You will nail it. See you next time.